Good morning. It is April 5th. We want to welcome you to our Sunday service this very first week of April. This actually also happens to be Palm Sunday. Easter's just around the corner. But with Palm Sunday, I just wanted to begin by reading from Matthew 21. Beginning in verse 1, it says this: "Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey. You will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." You know, that first Palm Sunday was a day of great celebration for Jesus' followers, for his disciples, as he rode in triumph, Jerusalem welcoming its king, shouting Hosanna, which means God save us. It was an amazing day, but it was also the beginning of the end for Jesus, who in less than a week's time from then would be hanging to die on a cross. And that's why this Palm Sunday begins what many call Holy Week or Passion Week. And one thing that we do have this year is time to reflect in these coming days on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. And to help us do that, we'll also be celebrating communion later on this morning. I hope you had the opportunity to prepare some bread and some juice. If you don't, we will have a little bit of time before we go to communion that will allow you to get some of those things before we begin. But again, before we do that, we want to look at the announcements that we have as a church at this time. Just a reminder of our Good Friday service. We will be having a Good Friday service. It will begin at 10 a.m. We will also be doing communion on that day, so please make note of that and plan to join us. We also sent out some devotionals through an email. They'll also be on the Facebook page. Just sort of a daily reflection that you and your families can work through, just again, to help prepare our hearts through the Word of God, through prayer, just every day as we approach Easter. A reminder that our Tuesday evening prayer meetings have gone online. If you need any information about that, would like to join, or even need some help, you can contact either Felix or you can contact the church office. I would also add, if you're a small group leader, or even if you just want to sort of find a new way to connect with some friends and you don't know how and you'd like to try to set up an online meeting with some friends in church, contact the church and we'll see if we can help you just gather in whatever groups you can at this very difficult time. We also want to remind you that this is an opportunity for you to send in pictures of yourselves worshiping at home, just wherever you are right now. If you want to take a picture, have the TV in the background, you can post those on the Facebook page. We're putting together an album just showing all the different families worshiping together as just one more way of trying to tie our church together at this time when we are so far apart. Reminder about giving. Giving, we are encouraging you to give online. That's really the best option at this time. You can also give by appointment. So if you want to contact the church office, we'll tell you when you can stop by, just so we know that you're stopping by. But make an appointment, please, if you want to do that. Also, just encourage you to stay connected. Best way to do that is through the website, northgatebaptist.ca. We also post all of our updates on Facebook and our Instagram page. We also have an email list that we send out all the updates through email. If you're not on that and you would like to be, again, just contact the church office and we'll add you to that list. And before we move on, we also just want to, just at this time, keep in mind and keep in prayer those in our church who have been declared essential workers, those who are sort of on the front line of this coronavirus, those who are working in the healthcare area especially. Let's just commit to keeping these people in prayer as well. And speaking of prayer, I just want to pray together before we open up God's word this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for this day. Lord, we are so thankful as on Palm Sunday that we can even add our voices to the voice of your disciples saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Just acknowledging that Jesus has come, that he has come as King, that he has come as Messiah. He's come as the one who you have sent to save us and bring us salvation. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for all that you have done. And Lord, as we approach Holy Week this year, for many of us, it's a very strange time, being stuck in our homes, Lord, facing all kinds of uncertainty. And yet, Lord, we acknowledge that you are a good God and that, Lord, all that is happening has not caught you unaware, or that you are not unable, but Lord, you are strong, you are courageous, you are in control, you are sovereign, Lord, and you still reign. Lord, even though from this side of the world things look so unstable and so out of control, Lord, we take comfort in knowing that you are still God and you are still sitting upon your throne. Lord, for those in our church who may be sick, we pray that, Lord, you would bring health. Lord, for those who are especially lonely and isolated at this time, we pray that you would just send your presence and be with those people. Lord, we want to also just specifically pray that you would keep us safe. Lord, for those who are over at Kensington and Shepherd's Care, Lord, for our healthcare workers who are now on the front lines, Lord, as this virus continues to grow, Lord, we ask that you would provide safety for them. Lord, keep them from this disease that is going around, and just, preserve those people at this time. Lord, we also just want to thank you for the ministry of this church that is continuing, even though it's continuing in different ways. And Lord, for the offering that we are continuing to receive. Lord, we are so grateful for that as well. Thankful for the people who give, and thank you, Lord, that you continue to provide in so many ways for this church. And that, Lord, just as we approach Holy Week, that we would take time just to pause, just to reflect upon you, upon your sacrifice, upon the cross and upon the resurrection that is to come. That is our hope. And now, Lord, as we open the Bible, as we spend some time together in the Word, wherever the members of this church are right now, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would be with us. That, Lord, through this message, you would just draw us together through the power of your Holy Spirit in a very special way. Give me the words to say, and Lord, give us all ears to hear the message that you would have us hear this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this feels a little bit sort of like a momentous moment as I get to say, for what will probably likely be the last time for at least a while, if you have your Bibles, open them with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Because this morning we are coming to the end of a journey that we actually began way back in August of last year. A journey looking at the book of 1 Corinthians. And what a journey it's been. I mean, as we went through 1 Corinthians, just to name a few things, I mean, we learned about wisdom. We learned about worldview. We learned about holiness and relationships. There's dating and marriage and sexuality and immorality. We talked about spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues. We talked about love. We talked about unity as a church. There's a chapter on resurrection. We even had passages on wearing hats and what to put on the barbecue. There was a lot that we covered in this book. And, you know, going into the book of 1 Corinthians, I knew it would be interesting. I definitely knew that it would challenge us. But one thing I don't think I could have imagined was just how timely some of these messages were going to be for us as a church. That some of these messages we preached, just they hit home at just the right time. We heard truth we needed to hear right when we needed to hear it. And this morning's message is no exception. That came as a bit of a surprise to me because Paul's writing the conclusion of this letter. And as a pastor, when you're doing a sermon on conclusions, you tend to think of them as just kind of being a bit dull. The conclusion of most biblical letters kind of goes, you know, I'm done saying the important stuff now. So, you know, say hello to so-and-so, and this person says hi back to you, and this person may come to a visit, that kind of thing. And then there's usually this sort of flurry of final instructions that the person's trying to get in at the last moment. Actually, it reminds me, I don't know if you've had this experience, when a person is sort of has to first leave their kids at home for their first time when they're by themselves. And as the parents are walking out the door, you always are sort of like, you know, you're always trying to get that last thing in, like, okay, well, remember to feed the dog and remember to do the dishes and don't pick on your brothers. And then, you know, if the furnace acts up, you know, call grandpa and all of these other things. And your kids just look at you like, yeah, thanks, mom and dad. Just go. Like, just go. We've heard this all before. But you always you sort of want to get in those last words. And Paul's doing a little bit of that as well here as he's sort of closing off this letter. He's trying to get a bunch of last minute details in. He covers a lot of topics. You know, he says, do this, do that, do the other thing. But I can actually tell you that this week when I read the words of this passage, they impacted me in a way I didn't expect, in a very powerful way. Because as I read these words, I think for the very first time, I read these words in the true sense of how Paul first wrote them, because this letter was not just written to some sort of church that Paul was familiar with who got themselves into trouble and needed a little bit of advice. These were words that were written to people that Paul knew very well and that he loved very deeply. And yet, Paul also found himself too far away to be there for them in person when they needed him the most. These were people that Paul, again, he knew they could really use his advice and his presence. People who were hurting, people who needed encouragement, people who probably just needed a hug. But circumstances meant that Paul couldn't be there to talk to them face to face. And as he says this final goodbye to them, I think the pain of that separation that he's feeling is coming to the surface, which really makes this final chapter Paul's final words to faraway friends. And this, again, this might just be the coronavirus talking here, but these words really spoke to me this week about the pain of having to be apart from the people that you love, especially those people when they might be hurting or feeling alone. So this message, I hope, will really just, it will bless and encourage your heart as much as it did mine this week as I was writing it. Because this really, it was a message that felt like sort of, it was a good word spoken in the proper season. And I want to share that with you this morning. And again, Paul does jump around a little bit from topic to topic here. But as we take it all together, I think Paul is really shining some light on things we need to be mindful of when our friends feel far away. So let's look at what Paul has to say, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me." So Paul's first concern that is that this church would keep on being faithful in their giving. And Paul was not just referring to sort of their giving to the local church, but Paul mentions a very specific goal that he wants them to be giving towards. He actually refers to it as the collection. And what Paul is likely referring to is the offering was being collected in support of the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem had fallen on very hard times financially. There was a severe famine around that time. The people were really hurting. And Paul, in many of his churches, organized a way for these churches to give to the church in Jerusalem just to help them out. But in Paul's absence, he's very concerned that the people will begin to neglect that specific need. Paul sort of worried that out of sight might mean out of mind when it comes to this church's giving. And even though he doesn't spend a lot of time dwelling on these on that thought here, you know what? These verses are still a very wonderful text about what faithful giving should look like. Because Paul talks about the need for every single person to be giving. He talks about giving as each person prospers. That means as each person is able to give. He mentions something about setting something aside on the first day of the week, which is not just speaking about sort of being regular in our giving, but it's also, I think, part of seeing your giving as an act of worship, because the first day of the week is Sunday, the Lord's Day, when the church gathers together, like prayer, like singing, like hearing from the Word. Giving is to be part of regular worship for the believer. And then Paul even talks about taking steps to ensure that the proper care of this money, that, you know, there's accountability for this offering, that the proper people are, you know, they all have all the letters and all that stuff in place. There's good stewardship happening here. And, you know, it's a great lesson on being faithful in giving. And, you know, looking at our situation now, I think the application for us as a church is clear. That even in the absence of being together as we normally are, we need to remain faithful to give as we are able. And, you know, we are facing all kinds of unknowns and uncertainties moving forward as a church. We may face a long, even after the coronavirus, a long period of economic hardship as well. But I want you to know our church is still actively looking for ways to minister and to reach out to others. You know, so much of what we normally do has changed in the last few weeks, but our purpose, our goal, our calling as a church has not changed. You know, we're still preaching the word. We're still seeking out ways to build fellowship and community among our people. We're doing all we can to reach out to the lost and to make disciples. And people, you know, people when they give, they tend to give towards a vision. So please know, even at this unusual time, this church is still being active in serving the Lord, and we are still facing very real financial needs. So don't let out of sight be out of mind. But I should add here just a big thank you, because I do know that so many of you have been so faithful and continue to be faithful in your giving, and we are so thankful for that. But it's still a good reminder to us all. And that leads us to the second thing that's on Paul's heart and mind when he says goodbye to his faraway friends. And that's just his desire to be with them. We pick that up in verse 5. He says, "I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door of effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." You know, when you are apart from the people that you love, it's very natural that you miss them and you want to spend time with them. And remember that Paul had made the city of Corinth his base of operations during his second missionary journey. He spent a lot of time there. He spent a lot of years just living among these people and learning to love these people. I mean, these were the people Paul sat side by side with on the pew each and every Sunday, week after week, year after year. These were his friends. And you can almost hear the longing in Paul's words here as he writes. He's trying to find a way for it to work out so that he can come and be with them again. And he says, not just in passing. He doesn't want it to just be a short stay. He says he wants to stay there with them for a while. He wants to spend some time with them just so he can reconnect and just get back involved in their lives. He misses them. And, you know, as life often does, he tells us there are obstacles that are actually keeping him from that desire. His travel plans just aren't working out, just aren't allowing him to be there at this time. And for now, all that Paul can really do is just write them this letter. And again, for us today, I mean, who could have imagined that as a church, we would be kept apart in this way from the people we love, the people we sit side by side with on the pew each and every week by this microscopic virus. And yet here we are, we're 3 weeks into this isolation, and I think Paul's words speak to us here now in a very new way, because so many of us are feeling that same desire. We are still missing each other, you know, so much. So many of us are feeling that desire that we want to be together, even though circumstances have arisen that are keeping us apart. The truth is, as a church, we miss each other. So what can we do? Well, we can do what Paul did. We can write a letter. I even love at the end of this chapter, in verses 21 and 23, Paul signs it in his own signature. He makes it kind of a big deal. And he gives the letter the personal touch. So let me encourage you, even though we cannot be together as a church right now, I would encourage you to look for other opportunities that you can connect with people. Look for ways that you can reach out to the people in this church and the people all around you that you love. I mean, don't just sit there and miss them. I'm saying take an active step to do something just to let those people know that you're thinking about them. You can send a letter. You can send an email. You can send off a text. It doesn't have to be long. Just send a text to someone saying, I'm thinking about you or I'm missing you right now. You can call them on the phone. We can even video chat now. Nowadays, we have FaceTime and Google Meet and Zoom and Skype. And most of those things were things I had never heard of 2 weeks ago. This week, I think I spent 10 hours in meetings using them. They've become great tools, and they are great tools for connecting to people. But we are missing each other very much. But this is also our chance to reach out and connect to others in new ways, doing all we can to connect with our friends. But you know what? Missing each other is not the only obstacle that we face at this time. Look at verse 10. Paul says, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you. For he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Now, if you know anything about Timothy, you know Timothy was one of Paul's disciples. He was a partner in ministry with Paul. He worked side by side, but he was also quite a young man. And we also know Timothy from some of the other writings. He was a little bit on the timid side. He was sort of easily intimidated, kind of a, what do you say, nervous Nelly? Is that old? That's connecting with the kids. All right. I imagine Timothy was a very nervous young man. I imagine that Paul was worried about him because he was sending him to Corinth. And after writing this, you know, very stern, forceful letter of correction to this church in Corinth, Paul may have thought, you know what, they may take out some of that frustration that they have on Timothy because Timothy was so closely associated with Paul. So Paul tells his church, you know what, go easy on the kid. I mean, go easy on Timothy. He's nervous enough as it is. And, you know, I think there's an important lesson in that for us, which we all need to hear right now. And it's this, you know, we need to take special care of the people in our lives who might be afraid right now. Right now is a very anxious time. It's a very scary time for so many people. I mean, people are fighting over toilet paper. They're hoarding supplies, even when it makes no sense to do so. But they're doing it because they're afraid and they want to feel like they're doing something. And, you know, especially for those among us who may be vulnerable to this coronavirus and all those things, there's good reason to be concerned. Many people are afraid. But I think Paul's words here to us should be, do what you can to comfort those people. Do what you can to identify those people who might be nervous right now and do what you can to help them find peace in this moment. You know, that may mean reaching out to them, just like we talked about. It may mean helping them with a practical need that they might have. That might help their anxiety as well. That may mean praying with them, and it certainly means praying for them. It may mean reminding them of a scripture verse and offering them the comfort of God's word. And, you know, if they're part of your household, you know, especially if they're your kids, it may mean just a few extra hugs and just extra assurances that they are loved and that they're not alone. But be looking for those people around you who are showing signs of being afraid, and just find a way to offer comfort and encouragement. That's another really good word for us in this time that we are living right now. And here's another good word. Verse 12 says, now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit with you, with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. Apollos, his name has already been mentioned in the book of Corinth. He was a fellow worker, fellow preacher of the gospel in the early church. And both him and Paul had very close ties to the Corinthian church. They both spent time ministering to them, and they both had a heart for people and for the gospel. But you know what I really love about this verse is that Paul lets us know that he wanted Apollos to head back to Corinth, sort of ASAP, as soon as possible. Apollos, there's a need there. I would really love if you could go. But you know what? We're told Apollos said no. And Paul doesn't pull rank. He doesn't have a tantrum. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't become a control freak. He simply says, well, okay, you can't go. Because they were on the same team, and Paul trusts Apollos' decision. And here's a lesson that I want us to take home from this. Because at a time like this, we really need to let people respond to what is happening in the way that they need to respond. I think we need to be willing to let go of our expectations about how other people should be feeling, about what other people should be doing, and instead just be giving people the freedom to manage this very emotional, very anxious time in their own way. We need to give people the freedom to be themselves. I know I'm guilty of not doing this. I'll walk home, into my house, and my kids will greet me, and they'll be like, "We're bored." And I'll be like, "You can't be bored. You have computers. When I grew up, I only had Lego, and that kept me busy for weeks." And, you know, I give them this guilt trip about why they shouldn't be feeling what they're feeling. But by doing that, by putting my expectations on them, I'm missing what they're trying to tell me. I'm missing what they're going through because I'm not listening and I have different expectations. And I shouldn't be doing that. Because we're all stuck in similar circumstances, but each person is really going to experience it differently. And we need to give each other the time and the space and the courtesy to respond to those things in our own ways. And I would just add here, as we look for an application, that we should also be offering people the freedom to serve in their own way as well. What's interesting in this passage is that both Paul and Apollos mentioned that they can't return to Corinth at that time because both of them were involved in other opportunities to serve. Paul even calls his in verse 9 a wide door for effective work. They had other things going on. There was other ways to serve that were just as valuable. And in the same way, you know, this virus that we're responding to has really thrown a monkey wrench into the way that we usually do things as a church. But it has also opened the door to all kinds of new opportunities as well. I mean, we're streaming our sermons online. We're doing our prayer meetings, our Tuesday night prayer meetings. You can do those from home now. We're blogging on the websites. We're putting together teams, you know, to deliver groceries and to care for people and to make phone calls. And we're coordinating care groups virtually. You know, some of the Awana teachers are continuing their classes online. The other day, Garrett told me that he just finished setting up a server on his computer so the youth would have a place to chat and connect. And I nodded and I said, "Good job." But I have no idea what he's talking about. I didn't take server construction in seminary. But it's become an effective tool. We are doing new things as a church. And I believe that many of those new things that we're doing and that we're discovering at this time are going to be things that going forward in the ministry are going to be actually discovered to be a great blessing to our ministry. So we need to give people the freedom to try new things. Let's give people the freedom to minister at this time in new ways. And that ties very nicely with Paul's next point, beginning in verse 15. He says, "Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they were devoted, they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoiced at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence. For they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people." Now, Stephanas is likely not a name you recognize, nor should you really, but we're told he was one of the very first converts in this region when Paul first preached the gospel around Corinth. And since that time, Stephanas and his household, he was a good leader in that church. He offered good and faithful service to these people. And Paul is telling this church, you know, you need to support leaders like that. And even more, I love he says in verse 18, you need to give recognition to such people. Acknowledge the good that these people are doing. And you know, my application of this truth for us today is just to acknowledge the leaders in our church who have provided faithful service, even in such chaotic times as this. You know, I'm very thankful for the COVID-19 team that we put together. It was some healthcare professionals and other leaders who would just help us make decisions in navigating all the details of this coronavirus situation, as it changed almost daily. I'm thankful to the board who have provided leadership and had to make thoughtful decisions on matters we probably couldn't even have dreamed of even a few months ago. I'm thankful to Phil and Sean, who don't just have the technical know-how, but they have that heart of ministry to help keep our live streaming going and our websites running and our Wi-Fi tuned up and our phones and all that stuff. They do so much behind the scenes, and I want to recognize that. I'm thankful to the small group leaders who are continuing to reach out to their people so they feel connected. I'm thankful to the prayer group for their faithful prayers and that the leaders had the vision to take that online. I'm thankful to Garrett, who has continued to connect with the youth online. You know, they're doing weekly small groups online, and they're even doing Friday night events, you know, virtually now. Rod has put together a package of materials that he sent out to all the families so that they can keep biblical instruction going on at the home. And he continues to connect with those parents almost weekly. I'm thankful to the worship committee who worked with me to make, you know, choices about what we're going to do with worship, even though those were very tough. I'm thankful to the finance committee because they provided stewardship to our church so that we are financially in a place right now where we can manage a crisis even as big as this in ways that other churches just don't have the luxury. I know other churches have already had to lay off staff, but we haven't because we've had those faithful leaders. I'm thankful for the deacons because they just have a heart to serve. And they have been so active in connecting with people and also in looking for ways that we can meet practical needs in a practical way. And you know what, before I finish, I also just, again, want to say thank you and acknowledge all those in our church who have been declared essential workers. Those who are working, especially in healthcare or another frontline positions, they have to face this crisis face-to-face every single day. And we want to say thank you for their service as well. And I'm sure I'm probably forgetting many people, but again, the lesson, encourage you to acknowledge these people in any way you can. Acknowledge them in your own way. Give recognition to such people. Be thankful that you have good leadership. Above all else, keep praying for these people as well, especially in this very difficult time. Give recognition to people like that. And that leads us into verse 19, where it says this: "The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss." I can tell you, as a teenage boy, that was my favorite verse. Greet each other with a holy kiss. I was like, ladies, are we going to live biblically or not? I mean, that was like, I held on to that promise. Oh, man. I'm pretty sure holy kissing is now off the table. It's pretty discouraged, not coronavirus approved at all. And, you know, with all this social distancing, I'm pretty sure holy hugs and holy handshakes are off the table too. But, you know, much to teenage Mark's disappointment, kissing is actually not really the point of all Paul's trying to say here anyways. The point Paul is trying to make is that as Christians, we should greet each other like we're family. Because, you know, some cultures do the whole kiss on the cheek to greet everyone and anyone, even strangers sometime. In Paul's culture, a kiss was a way a person greeted really only a family member or a very, very close friend. Paul is saying here, greet each other like your family, because you are. Remember, you're not alone. And, you know, by mentioning all those other churches and all, you know, all those other people, I think Paul's just reminding us all that we are part of the family of God. And that is bigger than just one church, because the family of God is a very special thing. It binds us together in a way that is closer than even flesh and blood. It is in Christ and in our love for one another that we are together as one people. Just as Paul says in verse 14, let all that you do be done in love. I mean, the love is the mark of Jesus' followers. that we love one another, the whole world will know that we are his followers. And you know, if you are feeling alone and isolated this morning, I want you to know that you are not forgotten. That there, you know, we're all in this together, even though we have to be apart right now. And as far as we are able, there will be no man or woman, there will be no brother or sister in Christ left behind. No one will be forgotten. No one will be overlooked. We will do all we can to look after each other and love each other because we are family. And you know, they may have ordered us to close the church building, but the church is not closed. Because the church is not a building. The church is people, and we are still the church, and we are still the family of God. And you know, I can hardly tell you how much I am looking forward to our next family reunion. I love the passage, verse 17, where Paul says, I rejoice at the coming of Stephanus and Fortunus and Achaicus. We rejoice when we're together and we see those old friends once again. You know, how good and pleasant it is when the people of God, the family of God, can get together. And I cannot wait to rejoice together once again as our church family here at Northgate, to be just refreshed by our fellowship and the presence of friends. Because keep in mind, this absence that we're feeling right now, it will not be forever. And though it's, you know, it won't be as soon as many of us like, and for many, it already feels like an eternity, the truth is one day we will be together again as a church. And if, you know, I think if there's one thing a time like this can really show us, it's just how much we take, I guess, the simple things for granted. You know, simple things like a handshake or a pat on the shoulder or just sitting beside one another in the pews on a Sunday morning, worshiping together, having a cup of coffee together, sharing a laugh, singing together, praying together. Now that those things are gone, we appreciate them so much more. You know, even a congested Sunday morning parking lot will probably be met with joy when all of this is over because it means we know all of our friends are finally together again. So I want you to keep hoping in the fact that we will be together again. And the refreshing and the joy that we feel in our fellowship on that day will be all the sweeter for the time we have been apart. That's the beauty of being a part of the family. And that brings us to what, well, to the end of our passage. But I want to add one more thing before we close, because some of you may have noticed I actually skipped a verse. And I did that on purpose because as I read this verse, I really sort of wanted this verse just to be words you can hold on to. This I wanted to be sort of our final encouragement as we close. Because the words of verse 13, I think, speak so powerfully, where Paul says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. And, you know, as I've said, this is a fearful time for so many people. We are faced with the threat of the coronavirus. And again, on top of that, the pressure many are feeling about unemployment and just the financial future. And it all adds up to so much uncertainty. But I can also tell you, you know, even if we didn't have the coronavirus and all that stuff breathing down the neck, you know, chances are it would be something else because it's always something. You know, in our life, there's always some distraction, always some unforeseen circumstances or disappointment or discouragement that's going to come our way. And if we spend time focusing on those negative things, they will always find a way to drag us down. And yet Paul, I think, gives us some very powerful advice here on how to face all of that uncertainty in our lives. He says, be watchful, be strong, and stand firm in the faith. And for me, that is such an important perspective to have at times such as these. It's important for us to remember that we have a foundation in faith in Christ Jesus that cannot be shaken, and that all that is happening is still under God's control, that God can use even this hardship as part of his plan, that God can use this time to even build up his church and glorify his name. You know, even when all we see is evil, God can use it for good. And we can take comfort in that. Comfort in knowing that God is able. Comfort in knowing that God is in control. Comfort in knowing that God is with us. Comfort in knowing, again, that our foundation in faith cannot be shaken. Comfort in the fact that no matter how crazy this world may become or act at times, in the end, we're living for the next world and the power of the resurrection. And nothing can take that away from us. And that's what we're going to be celebrating next week, as we come to Easter morning. But for today, gain strength and encouragement and take time to stand firm in your faith. Because even when our friends feel far away, we can know that the Lord is near. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for the word that we heard this morning. Thank you for how it has encouraged my heart this past week. And I pray that it would go and encourage the hearts of everyone who is listening in the week ahead. And Lord, this is a hard time when our friends are far away, when we just cannot be with the people that we love. But Lord, at the same time, we know that you are near. And Lord, that we are still part of the family of God, that we still have people who care for us, who can look out for us. And that, Lord, I pray that we would find new ways to reach out, new ways to connect to people, new ways to minister, new ways to serve, new ways to proclaim the gospel. As we are put in a new position, that, Lord, we would find new ways to serve and new ways to be the church for one another. And that, Lord, we would just live in hope together, and that we would live in the hope of the resurrection that is to come. And that, Lord, in all of these things, we would just continue to stand firm on our faith that is established in the person of Jesus Christ through his death on the cross and his resurrection. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, at this time, we are going to celebrate communion. We're just going to put up a screen and play a little bit of music. So if you don't have your elements gathered, this is your opportunity to do so. If you do, I just pray that this would be time for us to reflect on the truth that we've just heard, and also just to prepare our hearts as we come to the Lord's table again. Let's just pause for a few moments. As we come to the Lord's table again, I just wanted to remind you earlier, probably last week, we sent out an email that had opportunities. The Jews for Jesus were putting together just a reflection on Christ in the Passover. If you've never actually seen that presentation, it is more than worthwhile. Please look for that link in the email we sent out last week. And I would just encourage you, there's many opportunities in this coming week for them to present Christ in the Passover and just see all of the imagery that is there. It's more than worthwhile for you to seek out. Just wanted to remind you of that. But again, as we come to the communion again this morning, it's very strange to be mostly alone here. I mean, the very intention of this meal, I think when Jesus gave it to his disciples, was to unite us together around the truth of the cross. This is something that we want to do when we are all in the same place, to experience it together. And yet, even though we are in separate places this morning, I do think that as we do this together, it will be something that is able to draw us together as the people of God and as a church. And as much as I hope your hearts have already been blessed by the sermon this morning, even more so, I hope that our time now of reflecting on the sacrifice of Jesus will also bring us great encouragement together as a church. So as we prepare our hearts together, let me read, as I usually do, from the words of 1 Corinthians 11, where it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray. Father God, as we come to partake of the bread, we reflect on the brokenness of your body upon the cross, upon just the physical abuse, the whippings, the beatings, the crown of thorns, the mockings. Lord, how you suffered so greatly for sin that was not your own, but sin that was ours, that you took upon yourself. And Lord, to reflect again and again on that suffering is difficult. But Lord, it also reminds us just of the cost of our sin that was borne by you on the cross. And Lord, as we come once again just to take of this bread, remind us of the sacrifice that you made upon the cross on your body. And Lord, make us truly thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." you may take part now. Paul then writes, in the same way he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's pray and give thanks for the cup. Father God, Lord, as we consider the cup that is a new covenant, a new understanding, a new agreement between God and people through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, again, we are so thankful. Lord, because the cup represents the life of Jesus himself. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And let, Lord, Jesus gave up his very life so that we could live. He died for our sins, died in our place upon the cross. And again, Lord, as we take this cup once again this morning, may we just again come with gratitude that is overwhelming for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We thank you for this cup that represents the blood of our Savior that was shed. In Jesus' name, amen. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Then Paul offers those words of promise, saying, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I just want to thank you for joining us this morning, for being with us as we looked at the Word of God and participated in the Lord's table. I also want to just remind you once again to join us for our Good Friday service, 10 a.m. Hope that you can be there as we again just reflect on the sacrifice of our Lord. As we close, let's just pray together. Father God, we are so thankful for this day. Because, Lord, even though it's not the day we wanted, it is still a day that you have made. And it is still a day that you are at work in the lives of all of your people. And that, Lord, it is still a day that we are the church. Lord, even though we are in separate places, Lord, our hearts are united in Christ. And that, Lord, I just pray that this truth that we heard this morning, that longing we feel because we are just so far away from each other, that, Lord, it would offer us encouragement to do things we can do, to reach out to others. But, Lord, even more, that it would remind us just to take a stand upon the truth. Because, Lord, no matter what comes our way, whether it's a virus or financial uncertainty or war or persecution, Lord, our faith remains strong. Our faith remains unshakable. And let, Lord, I pray that you would help us to take a stand upon it. And that, Lord, we pray just as we close, that, Lord, you would bless and keep us. That, Lord, you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious towards us. That, Lord, you would turn your face towards us and that you would give us all peace. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.